appreciate that very, very much. And the piano was Miss Candace Benefield, and she is going to be coming on school staff, one of our new supervisors. Also, will be taking care of some of the elementary music for the kids, and so appreciate her coming on staff with us, just getting started here this summer. So appreciate her coming into town. You pray for her. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, if you will, Ecclesiastes. Psalms, if you go kind of in the middle of the Bible, you'll find Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Okay, so Song of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse number 11. So we're going to go to 7-11 today. They had 7-11 day the other day. Remember, they had everybody got a free Slurpee or something. Isn't that what they got there? I'll try not to slurp, all right? We have been... We spent our theme this year has been Choose Life. And of course, we went through Deuteronomy 30, and then we talked about all the things in Deuteronomy 27, 28. And for those who maybe were visiting with us, the Lord said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I want you to choose life. Now, the fact is, you don't get life by accident. In fact, we get death by default. In fact, the day that the Lord said to Adam, the day you eat the fruit thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what happened was his spirit died. They didn't die physically right away. They would have died. I mean, they could have, but they didn't. But they would have never died at all if they hadn't sinned against the Lord. And so the Lord cursed the earth. And he said, life's going to be hard by the sweat of your brow. There's going to be thorns and thistles and snares and so forth. And he says, it's going to be tough. And that's the natural state of this world, is the curse. Now, God says, that's where we fell into. That's where we're born into. But he says, I can supersede that. I can help you kind of sidestep a lot of that cursing, a lot of the problems, if you will trust me and do right. And so that's where we were. We were talking about that. We have a choice. Now, last week, we said we would choose life. We talked about choosing Jesus. The fact is, you want to live forever, you're going to have to choose Jesus. You're not saved because grandma was saved or mama was saved or the church, if the folks in your church are saved or your town is you're American and Americans are all Christians. No, you're not getting saved. You're not saved because you happen to be have some connections with some folks who are. It's a choice, it's an individual choice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you've got to make that choice. You choose life. He'll give you life and life more abundantly. A lot of folks want to choose life, but they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They'll choose religion, but they don't want to choose Jesus. They'll choose living right, but they don't want to choose Jesus. And even our righteousness is as filthy rags. Without Jesus, we still do not have life. You understand that? Now, today, I've got something else that goes along with that I want you to understand. There's a lot of folks who think, well, I got saved, and shouldn't everything be fine? We sang the song, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Well, that's great. But the fact is, just because you get saved doesn't mean that now God is going to bless you. Watch this. God can now bless you. You now have access to Him. But there's an awful lot of Christians who get saved and they never live under the blessings. And there's some reasons why they don't. And today is one of those reasons. They decide that they think, well, God's just going to smack me with blessings. But they want to live just like they have been living. Today our message, in fact, I've entitled it, Choose Wisdom. Choose Wisdom. Now, if you want to choose life, you've got to choose wisdom. In fact, if you don't choose, you can be saved. You got to be saved, or you're not going to heaven. You're going to go to hell. You got to be saved to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you got to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if you're going to have the Spirit, as it says in John, guiding you into all truth, teaching you to the Word of God, bringing those things back to your remembrance. So he'll use you. But the fact is, even once you're saved, if you're not yielding to the wisdom of God, you're going to get yourself in trouble. There's a lot of things that people do that would be a whole lot better if they would just do it the way God told them to do it. So let me read a few verses here, and I think you'll catch where we are before we're done. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 11 says this, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Now, if you know the background on the book of Ecclesiastes, it was, the best we can tell, was written by Solomon, but written while he was out in the world gallivanting around, doing things, getting into things he shouldn't be getting into. He was David's son. He was he came to the Lord, and he said, "I'm just a child. I don't know how to lead your people. And God, give me wisdom." And God gave him wisdom. In fact, the Lord said, "Just because you asked for wisdom and didn't ask for anything else, I'm going to give you wisdom and fame and wealth." And he did. And he did great things. The problem is, he did one of the things that he shouldn't have done, and that is, he heaped unto himself many wives. That's kind of the way they say it, heaped it. But I got a pile of wives back here at the house, you know. Which is very dumb. I don't know how a wise man could do that, because you realize, how many had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Actually, one little boy said he had a lot of combines. But, you know, the worst thing is, that's 1,000 women. They all have mothers. Yeah. I don't know how he could be considered one of the most wisest men who's ever lived, but there you go. Now, he really went off the deep end. And can you imagine, and you know what it's like when you get a bunch of women together all fighting over the same thing? You know what I mean? It's just awful. Whew. But he did it. And said, the Bible said they stole his heart and drew his heart away from the Lord. And he set up worship to their gods because they got it from this person and that place. And they weren't all necessarily Christian and, well, godly or Jewish. And it became a mess. And he kind of got away from the Lord. And he started looking for fulfillment in other places. And so Ecclesiastes is kind of an account. He went out and he said, "Well, I'll just get a good education." So he found out, well, that's all vanity. And he said, "Well, I'll just buy everything I want." Well, that's all vanity. And the more of the world he got, the more he realized, I thought that was smart, but he says, it really isn't a whole lot to it. And while he was out, there was some things that he learned. And these are two, you could kind of say a worldly man realized what it was. He says, wisdom is good with an inheritance. And by it, there's profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge, is that thing that makes it better, is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk about this. Wisdom gives life, so choose wisdom. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for these words. And Lord, I pray that you'll help our folks to choose life by choosing wisdom. You've got a wonderful life in store for us. If we'll take it, if we'll live it. There's so many people, even folks who know Christ as their Savior, who never really enjoy the blessings of a life lived for the Lord because they've got better ideas. So, Lord, I ask you to speak to hearts and give us what we need here this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we all want to enjoy life. A lot of folks say, well, this is the life. It means they're sitting in the backyard, you know, and underneath a shade tree drinking their lemonade and, you know, and everything. This is the life. Here we are. What a life we have. Living the good life. Most times, though, when folks say that they're referring, when they say they're living a good life, they're referring to partaking of what the world claims is the good life. The world's possessions. The world's position, the world's power. And often what the world calls a life is actually the ways of death. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. I want you to keep your Bible handy. Would you turn to Proverbs 14? It's not too far from Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, all right in there together. Proverbs 14:11. Watch what it says. It says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. The word house there means an established home, immovable. Like, you know, the three pigs, you know, and one built their house out of brick, you know, it's not going anywhere. He says, you got a wicked man, he thinks he's got everything settled, he's got a house, it's all established. But he says, it will be overthrown. He says, then you got folks, he says, they live in a tabernacle. A tabernacle means a tent, a temporary shelter. But the tabernacle, the upright, shall flourish. They might not have much, but it's a good life. But then it goes on, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now there are many, just kind of stay close there, there are many foolish people in this world. And I'm afraid that there are many foolish people sitting in churches. They receive Christ as their Savior, and then they proceed to take the reins of their life and drive it themselves with no more wisdom than they had before they got saved. They're babes in Christ with no more insight on living than the unsaved man on the street. When Jesus had gone in the world and preached the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. See, if we're not careful, I mean, Baptists want to get folks saved. We've got to get them saved, otherwise they're going to go to hell. We've got to get them saved, otherwise they're going to die without the Holy Spirit, without the guidance and the teaching. But a lot of folks get saved and say, okay, now, since that's all happened, now it's going to zap me with happiness and joy, and the problems are all going to go, and that's not the case. We have more to do. We're babes in Christ. Turn to Proverbs 3, if you will. Proverbs 3, verse 1. I said we're going to look at a lot of scripture. The Lord says it a whole lot better than I do. Proverbs 3, 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know what that is? That's the wisdom. That's the word of God. That's the wisdom of God. The law says this is how you do it. Now, I've got a better way. No, this is how you do it. This is the way it's going to work, because this is the way I'm going to bless it. Verse 2, if I've got the law, I've got wisdom, watch verse 2. The length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If you'll do these things the way I told you, God's going to be happy. And I'll be honest with you, you're going to get along with everybody else a whole lot better too. Then the next passage you know. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He says, I want you to be wise. And if you're wise, you're going to depart from evil. Look at verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with first fruits and all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. He said, you know, listen, you're not always going to like all the rules. You're not going to like all the wisdom that I'm going to give you. But he says, I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed if you do it. You know, I mean, the Bible says that if a child left to themselves will bring their mother to shame. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart from it. Listen, it's not fun going to school. We have a school here, and the kids, you know, they, after a while, they you know, it's hard. When folks come to our school, we use the ACE program, so it's kind of different than the rest of other schools. But the fact is, I always tell them, it's still school. You're still going to have to learn. You know what? If you already knew everything, you wouldn't need to go to school. So you don't know everything, and I don't expect you to know everything. We're here to teach you. And it's going to be work. You're going to have to work at it. It's school. We're going to have to be trained. You don't just throw the kids out there into life. You say, well, I don't want to make them have to suffer through school. So why don't we just let them stay home? Well, you know, well, I'll tell you, we'll work for an hour, and then we'll give them another break for another 2 hours, and then we'll work another hour, and we just don't want to make it hard. You know what you're doing? You are setting them up to fail in the future because we failed to prepare them and give them the understanding and the knowledge and, yes, the wisdom to be able to face what the world is going to throw at them when they grow up and get out from underneath your house. No, it's not fun. And they complain. And when they do it wrong, you're chasing them and all this stuff. And well, why are we doing that? Because we don't want them to fail. We do it because we love them and want them to know truth. And that's what he says here. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. He's trying to straighten you out. He's trying to give you wisdom. Look at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. He's going to be a whole lot better off. He's going to be able to, he's going to feel good about this. I remember my son, we homeschooled him the last 2 years, but the first few years he was in a Christian school down in Maryland, and they had this one teacher down there who taught English, and everybody says, oh, we got to go through Mr. Beard's English class. Oh, we got to go through Mr. Beard's English class. And the fact is they go through Mr. Beard's English class, and then when they went off to college, all these kids were in college saying, I don't know what to do with our English teacher. This is terrible. And he said, well, we had this in seventh grade. We know exactly what's going on. They already knew. Because Mr. Beard's terrible English class meant that they were going to learn what they needed to learn to do what they needed to do. It was hard, but it needed to be done. And you know what? So they were happy that they had learned what they needed to learn. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it, in other words, the value, it's worth more. Wisdom was worth more than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Unto what? Wisdom. Length of days and is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. You know what? If you're not stupid, you might live a little longer. When our kids were young, my wife also tell them, make good choices. Make good choices. Now, our youngest daughter, who lives out in Cleveland now with her family, they serve in Temple Baptist Church out there in the school at Kevin Folger and Pete Folger. Anyway, Now, when we're going to be gone away, like for instance, we're leaving right after early service, right after service here this morning to get to North Carolina in time for service down there. Bless your heart. And so we won't be able to greet anybody, but we're going to head right out of town. I'll be down there all week leading the singing for the National SOAR Conference. But anyway, when we're going to go on a trip and we're going to be away from home, sometimes we tell the kids, our daughter Hannah will sometimes say, well, make good choices. But you know what? I'm glad that she remembered that. In fact, she now says that to her own little kids. She's got five little ones. The oldest one's seven. Make good choices. In fact, I've heard her say, are you making good choices? Really? They're getting themselves in trouble. And she looks at them and says, are you making good choices? And they'll go, make good choices. Because happy, watch, verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, that's wisdom, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath found, by the way, if you think the Lord's not smart enough to have wisdom, look at the next verse. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. So he made the heavens and the earth. How many in here have made the heavens and the earth? All right, God's still smarter than you are. Right? By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou layest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and sleep at night, and it's going to be sweet. It's good. You're not laying there asleep. Think about all the dumb things you did this week that's going to come back to haunt you. Really? I mean, can you really live that way? That's what he's saying. Well, I've already blown it. I mean it's so bad. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning. Now, if you want a life worth living, you'd better get God's wisdom. Now, there's a whole wealth of material in the Bible, and if we try to cover it all, we'll be here till next week. We're not going to do that. But there, we got a good bit here we're going to cover. I want you to watch. Number one, this is not a short and concise point, but you'll see where we are. Number one, worldly reasoning even knows that wisdom can do you a lot of good if you have something to work with and to apply the wisdom to. Now, I'm saying that because our verse begins that way. I'm saying worldly wisdom because Solomon was out in the world when he wrote this. But he realized there's some common sense. You know, there's some common sense. There's some things that are just true. A man's a man, a woman's a woman. Common sense. All right? I mean, there's some things that are just common sense. And the world will try to lie to you. In fact, they will, if they can convince us that we will, and to deny something as common and as obvious as that, the devil can suck us into believing anything he wants to believe. He wants us to believe. And we have changed modes, and we just assume, well, whatever they say, we've got to go with. That's where our life is. And that's worldly wisdom. Ecclesiastes, back to Ecclesiastes 7:11. Right there in the Serpy. Ecclesiastes 7:11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. Now, wisdom means wise, it means witty, it means skillful in life. You have some understanding. All right. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. What's an inheritance? Well, you've got some money and it kind of came your way. You could kind of say it this way. In fact, the Bible talks about that, lands and houses are from your father, but the Lord gives a man a wife. He either finds the wife, finds the good thing. He's blessed the Lord. But the father tends to help him get set up in life. And so he gives him some acres out in the back 40 there someplace and helps him set up a little cottage out there, and they set up household and so forth, and father helps him do it. So in other words, he hasn't really worked for that money yet, but he inherited some money. Now he says, now wisdom is good with inheritance. If you got something to work with, you ought to have some wisdom so you don't lose what you have, so you can take good care of what you have. And says, by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Now, what does it mean to see the sun? Well, the fact is, if you went to work back then, but during Solomon's time, chances are, where did you work? Outside. You were in the field. We were with the animals. You were building houses. You know, you didn't have an air conditioning factory that you went to work. You went to work. If you were a man, you went outside. That's why it used to be. It's funny how it is. They used to think there was actually some cultures, if you're tanned, it was a negative because that meant you had to go out and work for a living. And that means you were outside. You know, so that's not good. Now we know we pay money to sit underneath a tanning booth. You know, so we all look tan. But anyway, that's kind of where the term redneck came from. But actually, it's a good honorable thing because you work for a living. But anyway, he says, you've got some money to work with. You've got something to invest. He says, wisdom is good if you have an inheritance, if you're not just going to sit in the house all day and waste your day. You're going out into the world and making a living. Invest what you have. If you already have some funds, some inheritance to work with, then wisdom will help you make the most of it if you will get out and go to work, don't sleep your life away and waste it. And that's true. That's common sense. And I say that because many people do not appreciate wisdom. I think that they think they're wise enough already. Besides, what do I need wisdom for? I have money. That will see me through life. Or they'll say, hey, I don't have any money, don't have much at all, I don't need any wisdom, I don't have anything to handle. I can handle a little bit that I have. See, without wisdom, you will not have your money long. In fact, there's an old saying that used to say, a fool and his money are soon parted. Remember that old saying? There's a reason. That's common sense. A fool and his money are soon parted. Some think they do not need wisdom if they have money, because doesn't money give me what I want? Won't money see me through the hard times? Won't money make up for the fact that I'm stupid? You know, that's what we think. If I have enough money, I can buy my way out of anything. Actually, money can bring a whole host of new problems, because prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You have a money, then you got to figure out what you're going to do with it. That sounds crazy. Well, I'll figure out something, you know. But, you know, you got money. I remember years ago, our church down in Maryland there, they had sold some land, and they were given, and they made a good profit, and they didn't know what to do with it. They had this $1 million. What do you do? You know, FDIC only guarantees, at that time, $100,000. Where do you put this? So they tried to invest it. And the fact is, and something happened in the economy, and the fact is they lost a lot of it. You say, well, what do you, you know, it's awful. You know, it's a crazy thing. You got money, you got to deal with it. But wisdom is going to carry you through. So, number one, worldly reason even says that wisdom can do you a lot of good. Number two, wisdom gives life. Now look at verse number 12. Why don't we read verse 11? Wisdom is good with inheritance, and by it there's profit to them that see the sun. Verse 12, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life, look, to them that have it. Now the word wisdom, again, is wise, witty, skillful in life. He says, is a defense. That word defense means a shade. It cuts us a break. It gives relief. It cools the crisis. It kind of takes the edge off life. You've got some wisdom, you probably can save yourself a lot of problems, a lot of hurt. And the fact is, you know, if you have a little bit of money, it doesn't, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of money, because it kind of takes the edge off of things too. We're getting ready to go down to North Carolina, and I thought we're gonna have my car serviced. Well, last week my air conditioner in my car went out. Well, you know, you buy a nice car, and of course, then it always costs more to get it fixed. And so I took it down to Alan Bonsall, and he always does a great job for us. And he says, well, it's not like, you've got the new coolant. Whenever he says new, you're usually in trouble. He says, it used to be if it was just down a little bit, you just top it off and you go on. There's a leak someplace. We'll put some UV stuff in there, and we'll come back and see where the leak is and fix it, and it'll be done. He says, that's not the way this works. You got to vacate the entire thing, see if you got a vacuum, then it puts it back in. And he says just the process of determining what the issue is going to cost is $300. That's not even fixing the problem. That's just find out what the problem is and see if that's going to be it. Now, the fact is, I don't like paying it, but we had the money to pay it. And it's nice. And if you didn't have it, it'd be a problem. So you could say that having some funds, it's nice to have that. And so that's good. The thing is, he says, but the excellence of knowledge, what makes wisdom superior to having money, he says, is that wisdom giveth life. It means to cause you to have life. It means to preserve you, the living part of our existence, and not the death and destruction, so we will not perish. That word, to wander away, to lose oneself. He says, wisdom giveth life. Now, the fact is, I had $300 to pay for that because I didn't spend it on alcohol. I didn't spend it on drugs. I didn't spend it on cigarettes. I didn't spend it. I certainly didn't spend it on trying to get good looks. I didn't spend it because it was there when I needed. Wisdom says, put it in the bank. Even the ants put some away so you're ready for the winter time, the bad times. Wisdom says put it away. So that what I had the money. If I did, I could have money available to me, but if I don't have the wisdom to know how to use my money, I still don't have any money. See what I'm saying? God wants us to have wisdom, godly wisdom. But then he says, watch. He says, wisdom gives life. It gives you a life. It helps life out. It preserves you for those who have it. You don't have life from wisdom if you don't have wisdom. Wisdom does not give life if you do not possess it. And I think there's an awful lot of Christians who get saved and they think somehow now everything's going to magically be better. I'm not going to have any problems. Listen, in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, be of good cheer. He says, I can take care of the tribulation. I'm better. He says, you don't have to worry about it. I've superseded. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, fear not. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Even the godly shall suffer persecution. We live in a world where we're going to have issues, we're going to have problems. But you can either go through the problems with God and his wisdom, or we can go through the problems without God, without his wisdom. We have to make a choice. Choose wisdom. Now watch me. Your parents' wisdom is not going to preserve you unless you have it too. Well, you know, I grew up in a family and my folks were wise and they always did well. And I've seen folks who make it sound like, well, because mom and dad were wise, I am too by default. No. You got to get your own wisdom. Your pastor's wisdom is not going to preserve you. Your ancestor's wisdom is not going to preserve you. Your spouse's wisdom is not going to preserve you. Your teacher's wisdom is not going to preserve you. The wisdom of the founding fathers of our nation will not preserve us if we're not willing to take and use the same wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible will not preserve you unless you possess the wisdom in the Bible so you can use it. Biblical wisdom will not preserve us sitting on the coffee table. It's there. I can use it if I want. And we wait until there's a crisis and there's got to be an answer in here somewhere. And it's too late. The crisis comes, takes us over, and we're gone through it. We've already suffered the loss before we've ever decided what it is that we needed to know to face the crisis. Wisdom giveth life. Number three. There is worldly wisdom and there is godly wisdom. There is worldly wisdom and there is godly wisdom. The world thinks the wisdom of God is foolishness. And the Lord knows that the wisdom of the world is foolishness. The wisdom of the world has somebody who's candidating for the highest court in the land who doesn't know what the definition of woman is because she's not a biologist. That's what she said. Which, by the way, tells on her because that means, are you telling me that a biologist could tell us? Sure. Josh Hawley, I don't know if you heard about this week, but they were having a hearing with a lawyer. And I'm not sure where the lawyer was from, but it was a conversation on transgenderism, and in the midst of it all, he kind of curled up his eyebrows, and he said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He says, "Can a man get pregnant?" And she said, "Your line of questioning is transphobic." This whole line of questioning is going to cause violence. He says, I'm going to cause violence because I asked if a man can get pregnant. And she says, so they went on and on about this, and she basically reprimanded him. How dare he ask such a question? Now there's a wisdom in the world that is foolish. And you don't have more of an example than that. And I think I said this to you, but if the devil can get us to deny something as plain as that, what else can he make us believe? Now, some folks think that being streetwise is just as good as having biblical wisdom. Some folks think that biblical wisdom is out of touch with the real world, and that being streetwise in the world's wisdom is actually better for us. Well, the Lord made the world. And the Lord knows the hearts of men that they're deceitful. And the Lord sees through all the smoke in the mirrors of the world. And the world's philosophy is, why do I need God when I know better what's going on in the world myself? If you want to grab it real quick, you can. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. I'll get you caught up here in a minute. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in the presence, but of him are ye in Christ, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them in the heavens. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. 1 Corinthians 3:18. No man deceive him. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Verse 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You think you got wisdom from the world and you're so wise and so smart. He says it's all vanity, just like the preacher in Ecclesiastes. There's a worldly wisdom, there's a godly wisdom. And wisdom, godly wisdom, gives life. Number four. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now let me say this. I really believe this is true. We're independent Baptists, and we want to get folks saved, and we want to get as many folks saved as we can. We have to. Otherwise, we're going to die and go to hell. I believe that with all my heart. One of the reasons why we have Vacation Bible School. I mean, many, many boys and girls over the years have come to know Christ through Vacation Bible School. But the fact is, a lot of those kids will come back next year. You see, some years we'll have a whole bunch of them saved, you know, and the next year we won't have too many. That's because they were all saved last year. But I hate to say it, this is about all the church some of them are going to ever get. They'll come back the next year, and then we'll teach them some other principles and hope that they'll get a longing in their heart and desire to know more truth, and that they'll eventually come back to church or go to church or go find a Bible preaching church and learn the Word of God. Like I said, Jesus said, go to the world and preach the gospel. Baptize them, but teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We've got to do that, or we're going to have people living just as wickedly and failingly as they ever did, and then just say, well, this religion thing didn't work. Well, we didn't make use of it. John said the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all truth and bring it to our remembrance. But we've got to learn it. He's not going to bring back to our remembrance something we've never remembered. It had to be put in there. Romans 12 says that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to fill it with the right things, with the word of wisdom. Now, Romans chapter 8, he said, the wrath of God is theirs. They professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. So wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 16, by the way, that means the priority. If you're saved, now you need to be getting many folks saved as possible. But do you realize you're going to get a whole lot more folks saved if they can see a difference in your life? See, I want what he has. Oh, you're looking for lifestyle evangelism. No, I'm not. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people's lifestyles has ruined their evangelism because people saw how they live and they don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, they don't have any more than I have. I don't need that. All they've got is all the rules and they've got to give their money to the church. That's just plain stupid. Well, it is if that's what you're doing. That's why we stand in the Word. That's why we stand up here and preach the gospel, treat the gospel, but we also preach the Bible week after week after week and help you have to learn it. I've had folks come to here who said, well, we're all part of our church for 20 years. I've learned more in 6 months than I've learned 20 years at other place. I was saved and I knew it, but that was all I knew. When I grew up, I was saved and I knew it, but that was all I knew until I started dating Janet, and I actually led her to the Lord, but, you know, she's more of a student than I am. She said, well, she's already asking questions. Well, what about this? What about that? And I said, well, I don't know. I was saved and I knew it. Well, what about this? Well, I don't know. But I didn't want to look like I was stupid. I was dating the girl. I wanted to look smart. She thought I must be really smart because I've been saved for many, many years more than she. So I must know everything. I don't. Especially not then, I didn't. And so we spent a lot of time studying to find out what the Word of God said about it. Finding the wisdom of God. Here how we're going to do it. And so we spend the first 6 months of our dating time, a lot of it, in studying the Bible. I know that's hard to believe, but it's the truth. We smooched a little bit, but we were studying the Bible. We wanted to know the Word of God. Don't do that when you're not married yet. I was a little worldly man. I didn't know. She didn't know, and I didn't tell her. But we learned the Word of God, and we've based our home on the Word of God. We're going to live by the wisdom, even when the wisdom of the world makes no sense, does not agree with it, goes another direction. This is what God said. He's the one that made the heaven and the earth. I'll stick with Him. And now we've been married 41 years, raised 4 kids, got 10 grandkids. 10 so far, right? 10. Okay, 10. All right. And the Lord has shown Himself faithful. Have we had problems? Sure. But He's walked it through with us. Have there been times we didn't have much money? That's exactly right. But you know, He paid all the bills. We watched Him do it. Now, Proverbs 16:16 says this. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Proverbs 4:11 says this. Hang on, watch this. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. That's that wisdom. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. This is what he says, I'm going to do with you with what my daddy did with me. Daddy says, I want you to learn the word of God. It will do you good. It will serve you well. Because you'll learn what to do, when to do it, how to do it. He says, he taught me also. And said unto me, let thine heart retain my, hang on to these things, keep my commandments and live. Verse 5, Proverbs 4, 5. Get wisdom. Son, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. You love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Way too many people get saved, and they never get the wisdom. Well, that's a little overboard. Well, I think that's a little fanatical. Well, I don't know we really have to do that. Is that what did God say? Then get that wisdom. You apply it. And down the road, he will show himself true. Watch this, verse 8. He says, exalt her. Exalt wisdom. That's what I'm doing here. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Verse 10. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. So you listen to me and get that wisdom so you'll live a lot longer. You won't die a quick death. It's amazing how we make foolish decisions and somehow we die early and then we blame God for it. I'm not trying to be mean here, but it's the truth, folks. I hate to say it. We don't all know when we're going to die. We don't. But I tell you, a lot of folks are making it a whole lot quicker by what we're doing. I know, it could even be peanut butter pie. I understand. We got to make decisions. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. That word straitened means like a straight jacket, all wrapped up, all tied up. Sometimes you feel like you're trying to make progress and everything is tying you down. Everything is hindering you. You can't get anywhere. He says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, that means those who are doing living according to God's wisdom, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, I'm running out of time here. But let me say the last one here. I got to real quickly say this. Possessing wisdom will make a huge difference in your life. It brings life to those who have it. Proverbs 2, verse 5 says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Verse 10 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. You know, if you have wisdom, the Bible says that the mouth of the wise is less likely to get you in trouble. Sometimes you know when not to talk. You know how it is. You know the old saying. It says sometimes it's better to be quiet and be thought foolish than to open your mouth and dispel all doubt. In fact, the Bible says out of the multitude of words or one doth not sin. The foolish man spouts out everything he thinks he knows. The wisdom is quiet before he makes a statement. Learns all the facts before he starts saying things. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Chapter 15, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool doeth not so. Proverbs 10, the lips of him that hath understanding wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. You get yourself in trouble. Wisdom makes you productive. Proverbs 24, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Wisdom is profitable. There's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Proverbs 8, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. Wisdom is honorable. A man shall be commended according to the wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Wisdom just makes life better. Proverbs 3, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired not to be compared to it. Wisdom can make family relationships better. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And a lot of other little things. And lastly, let me say this, the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. You know what that means? There's way too many people say, I know this is what the Bible says. And even Christians, I know this is what the Bible said, but I figured something else. And I've got another way. I got a way around it. I know this is what the Word of God says, but that seems awful restrictive. I've got a way to make everybody like it a whole lot better, and we can do it my way. Now, I don't care what your way is, whether it's your way, the world's way, any other way, that counsel is not going to work against the Lord, the word of the Lord. It's not going to prove him wrong. It's not going to prove him wrong. It's going to prove him right. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. There's a key word. Before you seek the wisdom of God, you're going to have to realize you have no wisdom of your own. And that takes humility. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and praise endureth forever. He says, you start doing right, and you'll be praising the Lord for what you're seeing in his life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if any man lack wisdom, James tells us, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God is more than willing to give you wisdom. The Lord's not fond of having a bunch of fools claiming to be his, going around doing a bunch of stupid stuff. So he's more than happy to give you wisdom. But we must humble ourselves to seek him. Proverbs 11 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. See, the wisdom is the opposite of pride there. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace, and a scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that hath understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now listen, after all that we've seen here and all we've read here, don't be so foolish to decide to live according to your own wisdom anyway. Wisdom giveth life to them that have it. But there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want you to choose life by choosing God's wisdom.